Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I want to welcome all of you who have joined us today in your homes, maybe you're in your offices, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us online, on air, or through our podcast. And I just want to share God's word with you today. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to speak to us at such a time as this. And the best we can do is to turn to your word. And so I pray through your word, you will minister to us wherever we are in this situation, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. We are living in a very, very unusual time that has literally shaken the world with the coronavirus pandemic. In fact, just today I got to hear that some friends of ours, pastors, have one of them, their wife has been affected by this virus. And one of the pastors, I mean, they live in a nation that has literally been shut down. And it's very difficult days that we are living in right now. I have never, ever experienced in my life what's going on today. I've never seen Kampala and Uganda look like it looks today. I've never at any one time experienced a literal shutdown of schools. I mean, and even today, we get to come to you on air and online because we cannot even gather in our congregations to celebrate. It's a very unusual time. Now, there have been times where there have been outbreaks and natural disasters that have actually happened and shaken the world, but somehow this one has come at a huge, and had a huge negative effect on the world today. It's disrupted literally everything. And I want to thank the various people that are working hard to contain this pandemic and medical officials and different governments that are doing everything that they can to ensure the safety of the people in their nations, in their countries, and under their care. We really thank you for doing all of that, and we pray God will continue to give you wisdom as you enable us journey through this situation that we're experiencing as the world. Now, when such things happen to us, not only do they disrupt the routine of our lives, they shake the very core of our beliefs about life, our beliefs about God. They begin to lead us to ask very important questions. Probably the questions that are being asked today are more than the answers that could be given. We can't pretend to have all the answers for what's happening. People will ask questions like, why now? Why this virus now? I had many plans for my life, and now I can't even achieve them. People are worried, is the world coming to an end? Some people are speculating, is this a biological weapon? Others are even wondering, this situation is taking long. Will it actually ever come to an end? Will things ever change? Why do such bad things happen? Does God really care? And many more questions like that. And because we don't have all the answers, it can bring fear, it brings confusion, it brings anxiety, it brings desperation, and you can name it, suspicion. It brings all those kinds of things that emotionally begin to drain us and even spiritually begin to affect us. Well, the truth is, my friends, we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, bad things are bound to happen to all of us. If we just think about our fallen nature as human beings, sin has messed us up. And sometimes because of the sin in our lives, we end up making bad decisions or others make bad decisions. And then bad things begin to happen to all of us. But also I want to remind you, my friends, that sin not only affected the human race, but actually sin affected this beautiful world that God created. and began to mess up the order of how things were supposed to work. Things that were meant to bring life now begin to bring certain things that instead cause death. And so we have natural disasters that happen and diseases and all kinds of calamities that begin to happen in this world. So because of the fallen nature of this world and our fallen nature as human beings, bad things are bound to happen. But here's the good news, my friends, amidst the bad news. God is not caught off guard by what is happening today. In fact, when we look in history, with this whole sin situation that messed up the entire world, God demonstrated his care for us by dealing with the sin problem that has affected us by sending his own son Jesus to die on the cross so that we can be redeemed from sin. But not only does God redeem us from our sin, he sent his son Jesus to bring hope that would go beyond this life and in this world that we're living in today, a hope for eternity. In fact, for us believers, we have this incredible hope that one day when Jesus returns, he is going to restore everything back to its original design, where our world will no longer do the things that are happening now, and the earthquakes and all those things, they will be history because God has already taken care of that. So we actually have hope as the children of God. We have hope that the future is secure in Christ Jesus. But the question will be, what can we do now in response to what's happening around the world? What can we do now in light of the coronavirus pandemic that has literally shut down the world? Well, Psalm 11 verse 3 says this: when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, one way of looking at that scripture could be in a way of giving up, saying, what can we actually do about it? But I believe the psalmist is saying, when the foundations are being shaken, there is something that we can do as the righteous. And that's the title of my message: what can the righteous do to respond to what's happening today? When people's very lives are being disrupted by this pandemic, when lifestyles are no longer what they used to be, when people's jobs are being threatened and even some have lost their jobs, when the economy globally is being impacted by this virus, when our church routines are being disrupted, we can no longer gather together in big numbers so we can worship God and we get to do it in our homes. What can the righteous do when schools are being shut down and people's academic progress is being interrupted, when businesses are being threatened, when people's very livelihoods are being disrupted? People's plans, I can think of the people in the next few weeks who had plans for their weddings to start new families, and now somehow their plans are being affected. What can the righteous do when such foundations are being shaken? Well, I'm going to give you three things that we can do at such a time as this. And we're going back to God's word because that's where the hope is. Number one, this is what the righteous can do in such times as this. We must, number one, run to God. We must run to God. There are things that human beings can do, but there are things that happen in this world that require God's divine intervention. Unfortunately, at such times as this, when we are all out of options, people somehow, because they still need help and they are very desperate, sometimes they begin to draw their attention to the wrong source of solutions. So we begin to focus on human beings and think human beings could help solve our problems. Or even we begin to look at our leaders and hope that our leaders can help us solve these problems. Or we hope that somehow experts in life will find a solution to these problems. Now, please understand, I am not saying that the work of leaders or experts and scientists in such times is not necessary. It is necessary. In fact, on the contrary, It is God who works through people to give solutions. And that's why we must actually cooperate with what they are suggesting and even pray for them and listen to their advice. But the truth of the matter is this. Human beings, as human beings, we are limited. We are limited. And we all know that we have limitations. And because we are aware of this fact, it pushes people to start seeking for solutions that are supernatural, divine solutions. And so what some people will do in such moments is to turn to witchcraft or to divination. But I'm here to tell you today, let's not turn to witchcraft or any of those things. At such times like this, let's run to the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. He's the creator of everything. He's a God who can intervene in our situations. Let's run to Him through prayer. Let's run to Him by focusing on His word and finding out the promises from His word that He gives to us at such a time as this. So what can the righteous do? We have a door. We can run to the God of heaven and earth. So, why am I convinced that this is such an important thing to do? Why am I convinced that running to God at such times as this is the only hope we have? Number one, we can run to God because He cares. He cares for us. I've been reading the book of Exodus and I can't help but see God's caring heart. When He looked down and He saw the children of Israel who are going through a difficult circumstance in their season in history, God saw it. He was moved by compassion and He sent Moses to deliver them. Throughout the entire Old Testament, you can see the caring heart of God. When we think about the sin situation that has impacted the world, God never left us to die in our sin. He proved His caring heart for mankind by sending His son Jesus to die for our sins while we didn't even deserve. Romans 8:32 says this, "For God has proved His love by giving us His greatest treasure, the gift of His son." And since God freely offered Him up as the sacrifice for us all, He certainly won't withhold from us anything else He has to give. God demonstrated His caring heart by giving His very best, Jesus. He did that over 2,000 years ago. God still demonstrates His caring heart today, and He will give us victory over this situation. This truth should comfort us. That God actually cares, and that's why we can run to Him. The disciples experienced worry. Just like today in the world, there's a level of worry. And Jesus again begins to address their worry by drawing their attention to God's caring heart. In Matthew chapter 6, from verse 25 to 33, Jesus speaking to His disciples, He says, "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life." And I feel these words are so relevant for us today. "For all that you need will be provided, such as food and water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing?" And then Jesus says, "Look at the birds, all of them in the air. Do you think that they worry about their existence? They don't plant, they don't reap, they don't store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides for them each with food. He cares for them. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than these birds?" We are. So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? Who could add anything to your life by worrying? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at, then He says, "Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't even work at all or toil, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow that with hay, which is here for such a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes that you need? Even though you live with such little faith, God still cares. So then, forsake your worries, Jesus says. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know these things, that know the things your bodies require? And then he gives a solution. So here's the thing, verse 33. Matthew 6, and which is our theme this year as a Watoto family. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and his righteousness that proceeds from him. In other words, run to God. Then all these things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow and deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So God cares. But secondly, God has the power to change any situation. That's why we must run to him. Where human effort fails, God's power will never fail. What is impossible with man is possible with God. When we pray, God shows up. I think of our own history as a country in northern Uganda some years back that had gone through so much war with the Lord's Resistance Army. And I mean, a lot was done to try and stop that war. But I remember a season when a prayer call was given to churches and we prayed and believed God to end that war. And I'm so glad that we stand on this side of history as proof that when God's people get on their knees, God gets to move. What armies cannot do, God can do. And we started to see the victory come over there. Listen, my friends, God has power. He has never run out of power. God has power to deal with this pandemic that we're experiencing today. So let's run to him. Ephesians 3:20 says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. He will achieve your most unbelievable dream, and he will exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Wow. God is all powerful and he cares, and that's why we run to him. So when the foundations are being shaken, what can the righteous do? Run to God. And number two, here's the second thing the righteous needs to do in such a time as this. Resist any form of fear. We must intentionally resist any form of fear. When natural disasters and pandemics like we're experiencing right now happen, it tends to accelerate fear in the lives of many people. With this day of uncensored social media, with all the kinds of information coming, some of them false, and people send all kinds of rumors, negative information, it tends to spread even much faster than any form of truth or even good news. And when people hear these things, they get absolutely paralyzed by fear and even start to lose hope for a better tomorrow. They begin to lose hope if this situation can change. And please understand, my friends, fear is not from God. Fear is Satan's weapon that blinds us from seeing God's promises when we are experiencing such situations. And that's why in many parts of the scripture, God repeatedly says, do not fear. I read somewhere that it is over 365 times in the Bible that God says, do not fear. Literally, God says, do not fear for every single day of our lives. Do not fear, God says, in this time that we are in. Simply put, God is saying, resist every form of fear. Fear can rob us of a bright future. Fear can rob us of our joy every day. That's why we must not permit any form of fear. The Bible records a story in Numbers 13. I'll just tell you the story. When the children of Israel were at the brink of victory, in fact, inheriting their promised future that God had given to them, Moses sent 12 spies to go and check out the land. And they did go and they checked out the land and then they came back. And I somehow was thinking about this story and I started to say, if that was today and God sent out some 12 people to check out the land, how would the response be? There are those who are going to respond with fear, there are those who are going to respond with faith. And here's what I think. Some of those 10 guys who responded in fear would show up to the promised land. They would have smartphones today. And what kind of pictures would they take? They'll take pictures with the giants and take a selfie and immediately spread this selfie and say, "Boy, we are like grasshoppers." But what would the other two, Joshua and Caleb, who never encouraged the spirit of fear, what would they do? They wouldn't take pictures of the giants. They would take pictures of the beautiful fruit. Because they would never permit any form of fear. What happened to the 10 who came back and spread fear around the community was that the fear went spread faster than the faith. And God said, because you've entertained fear, you are not going to inherit your future. Fear is very disastrous, my friends. And only Joshua and Caleb, who are people of faith, inherited the future. Listen to me, my friends. Let's not entertain fear. Let's embrace faith in such a season that we are in. So how do you resist fear? Just have a couple of suggestions here. Now, fear has a mindset that is very negative. If you're going to resist fear, you need to have a renewed mind that adopts a mindset that expects good to happen. Let's be people that are expecting good. The Bible says we need to renew our mind with God's word. Fear also has a language. And the language of fear is also negative. It's always impossibility. It is in form of lies. I challenge you today, change your mouth, change your tongue by speaking faith and truth. Words are powerful. So today I want to encourage you, let's speak positive. Let's say things like, we will find a solution for this pandemic. It will come to an end. Those are the kind of words that we need to speak in such a time as this. Fear also has eyes. There are things that fear sees and there are things that faith sees. Fear looks at all the challenges and impossibilities. Faith sees the challenges but believes for God's intervention. Faith doesn't ignore the challenges. Fear also has action, just like faith. Fear acts in foolishness and pride. That's how fear acts. The focus is on me, my human strength, my image. And because of that focus, fear drives you to act like that. But faith, on the other hand, acts in wisdom and humility. Now let me expound this a little bit more, because we are living in a time where we must act in faith and not in fear with what's happening. Because some people are actually doing foolish things and prideful things and they're calling it faith. That's not true. Faith acts in wisdom and humility. So when they say, keep your hands clean, wash your hands, faith says, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to wash my hands. False faith, which is fear, in fact, which I say is foolishness, will say, oh, no, I don't need to wash my hands. It looks like you're acting in faith, but it is the pride that is driving you. It's the image you're trying to put on that you're greater than other people think you are. Fear acts in pride and foolishness. I'll give you a story in the Bible. Matthew 2 records the story of Joseph and Mary. They had baby Jesus. And Jesus, the Son of God, was going to save the world. God himself. But there was a threat that came from the king at that time, King Herod, because he knew there was a king that had been born. He wanted to destroy all the children. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and Mary and said to Joseph, take this child to a secure place. Move this child to Egypt. And Joseph responded. And when that threat ended, the angel came back to Joseph and said, now it is safe. You can take Jesus back home. Joseph and Mary acted in faith because faith responds with wisdom and humility. If that was you today, my friend, would you have moved? Or would you have said, oh no, I'm bigger than this. I'm carrying the Son of God. Nothing is going to happen to the Son of God. I want to challenge you today. Let's act in faith, because faith responds with humility and wisdom. Why shouldn't we fear in this time, in such a time as this? I have one reason I can give to you. God is still with us, even in this situation. His presence will never leave us. God is not only good when things are going good. God is with us even when things don't seem to be going good. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For God, you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. As long as God is with us, we do not need to fear anything. So what can the righteous do? We run to God, but we also resist any form of fear. Finally, the righteous must reach out to others at such a time as this. The big temptation when we are going through seasons like this is to only think about ourselves. The natural tendency is self-preservation. Whereas it's absolutely important to ensure that we are fine and that our loved ones are fine in such times as these, I want to challenge us to look beyond our circle and begin to practically care for those around us. Let's intentionally reach out during this time in practical love. One time I was walking the streets of Kampala. Sometimes I just like to do that. And there was a taxi that drove by me, a commuter vehicle. And what happened was the serviceman, the conductor, opened the door and let out somebody who fell on the side of the door, who was partially unconscious, and drove off. At that point, I asked myself, what am I going to do? I decided to go down and pick up that boy, young adult, and put him on the side in a much safer place, totally unconscious. And the people around just began coming around and just saying, oh, he may die, he may do this, and oh, what's going to happen? Let's find out his ID, do the other. None of them was practically saying, hey, let's solve the problem. Others came and just looked and passed by. This young man, precious before God, in a time of need, he had an epileptic fit. He needed somebody else to help. Listen to me, church, and those who are believers. Let's not behave like those taxi drivers that just put him out because they didn't want to carry somebody that was unwell. Let's not be like the people who just walked by me and never helped me. I am thankful for a Watoto Church member who came and found me, and he decided to stay with me, found that young man. I don't know how to do first aid, but somebody came and we started to help until he regained his conscience, and we went with him, had lunch with him, and discovered he hadn't swallowed his medication. And he was hungry at that point. He came back to life. I was very grateful that I could make a difference in that young man's life. I don't even know his name. To date, I've forgotten his name. But today I challenge you, believers, when the world is in crisis, let's reach out in practical love. Matthew 25 says, whatever we do for people that are in need, we are doing it to the Lord. But also I want to challenge you during this time, let's reach out with the gospel. There's so much bad news around us. The world needs some good news. Let's reach out with the good news that Jesus saves and Jesus loves. That Jesus, He came to give us life. Let's share the good news that Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the only Savior of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So let's tell the world about Jesus, that He saves. He will save us from this pandemic, but more than that, He will save us from our sin and give us life both now and forever. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I want to challenge you at such a time as this. The only hope that we have is Jesus. So what have I said today, my friends? Back to the question. In times like this, when the foundations are being shaken, what can the righteous do? Number one, they can run to God. Number two, they must resist fear. Thirdly, we must reach out in love. This situation is an opportunity for us as a church to demonstrate Christ's love to a hurting world. We will go through this situation. So I want to encourage you, take care of yourself. Live responsibly. God is on our side. This too will come to pass in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen if you believe that. I want to take an opportunity and pray with you right now. And I'm going to do two prayers. One is for you who wants to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the other one is just to pray for us in this situation. I know we've been praying and I encourage you to continue praying. So wherever you are, I encourage you to just take a moment of reflection. When I ask you a very personal question, comes to your faith, my friend. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I've got good news for you. You don't have to be perfect for Him to receive you. You just have to open up your heart and say, here I am, Jesus, save me. Are you filled with worry and fear because of what's going on? I also have good news for you. Jesus will take care of our worries. We just need to run to Him, resist fear, and reach out to Him even now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening to me right now or watching online. Those that don't know Jesus, I pray that right now they'll open up their hearts and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If that's you and you're saying, I want to receive Jesus, just pray this simple prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. And today I choose to make you the Lord of my life. Give me a brand new beginning. I choose to join your family, the family of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer in your heart, you are now born again. And I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church, or you can contact us as Watoto. We'll be ready to help you in whatever way we can. But I also want to pray for the situation we are facing. Father, I ask you in these times like this that are filled with uncertainty and anxiety and fear, your word says that we shouldn't be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplications that we should make our requests known to you. And now, Lord, I make my request known to you. Watch over your people. Watch over this nation. Watch over the nations of the world. I pray, Almighty God, give wisdom to the different officials that are working hard to contain this particular pandemic. God, without your wisdom, this will overwhelm us. But with you on our side, this will be defeated. So I pray for them, God. Do be with them. I also want to remember those that have been affected in one way or another, and somehow they've lost a loved one, lost a job, business has been affected. Oh God, you are the restorer, and I pray that your restorative power will reach out to all those ones and your comfort will be with them. And that scripture continues to say, God, that you will give us peace that goes beyond human understanding. I pray right now, may Uganda be at peace. Peace not like the world gives. Peace that comes from heaven. May this world experience your peace. Oh God, I pray, wherever we are, because we can be at peace knowing that God, you will take care of everything. We thank you and give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.